we come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you say that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
When the world around you is falling apart, what are you to do? The following is a presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible Study titled, I Will Look to the Lord, a teaching through the books of Micah and Nahum. More information is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com/womensministry.
We've got a special treat tonight. How many of you have, your memory verse? Did anybody try the memory verse? Okay. Well, we have a special way to help you remember your verse. So Linda's going to come up and teach you the verse for this week. Okay?
All right, here we go. Ready? Does anybody know it? You can say it with me, okay? Or turn to the page. Okay.
But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Acts 1:8, boom, boom.
One more time, okay? You can do it with me. Okay, here we go.
But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Acts 1:8, boom, boom.
Good job.
Thank you, Linda. Linda came all the way from Long Beach just to do that for you guys. Yes. So good. Thank you so much. So now you know how to memorize your verse, right? How easy was that? You can walk out of here singing that song. So you just put your own verse to it, okay? I'm wondering, when you got up this morning, did you put on your whole armor? Did you put on your whole armor this morning as you got up? And the question is, did you put on Jesus? And so, Lord Jesus, as we just come before you tonight, Lord, we thank you, Father, we thank you that you are in our presence. We are in your presence, Lord. And make us very aware of your Holy Spirit that's here. Make us very aware of your presence with us, Lord. We want to hear what you have to say to us tonight. And we know that nighttime is always different from the morning. It's always, you have different things to say because we are all different people, Lord. And I thank you, Father, that you don't just have cookie-cutter Christians, Lord, but you have shown yourself faithful to us. And help us to hear what you have for us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. So when you put on your whole armor, you put on Jesus. Jesus is our salvation. There is no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved but by the name of Christ Jesus. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. John 14:6. Jesus is the is our righteousness. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians 5:21. And Jesus is our faith. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Hebrews 12:2. And Jesus is our sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. John 1:1. Hebrews 4:12 tells us, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and the intents of our hearts. Jesus is the good news, the gospel. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. In other words, have you put on Jesus this morning? Did you put on Jesus this morning, first thing, when you got up? Have you set your mind on him? Are you trusting him to lead you? Are you dealing with stress in your life? How's your week been? Did you put into action those things that we learned last week about stress? To seek God's guidance, to trust what he tells you to do, to remember past victories, to exalt God above the problem, to solicit the prayers and support of others, and to stand on the promises of God. So how you doing with your stress? I'm calm as a cucumber. Oh, so much I wish that were true. Right now I'm not, just sweating. So anyway, we are living in times of spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare all around us. And we have a need for spiritual discernment. Spiritual discernment is of utmost importance. What is spiritual discernment? The fundamental definition for spiritual discernment is a decision-making process in which an individual makes a discovery that can lead to future action. In the process of spiritual discernment, God guides the individual to help them arrive at the best decision. And it is through the Word of God. John MacArthur says discernment is, its simplest definition is that discernment is nothing more than the ability to decide between truth and error, right and wrong. Discernment is the process of making careful distinctions in our thinking about truth. In other words, the ability to think with discernment is synonymous with the ability to think biblically or scripturally. So we get the Word of God in us so that we know what the Word of God has to say, and it gives us that spiritual discernment. That spiritual discernment is very close to, a bit like, the gift of knowledge. Gift of the Word of knowledge, what is that? It's knowing things with there not being any way of you knowing it except that God would tell you. So it's kind of like that. You know something about somebody or you know something about a situation, and there's no way that you would have known it unless that the Lord had spoken that to you. So that is a means of discernment. It is a gift of the Holy Spirit, and we are praying tonight. I am praying for you girls. I'm praying for the girls in the morning. I'm praying for all of us that we would have that special anointing of the Holy Spirit upon our lives, that we might know that discernment, that we might be able to decide what is going on. Years ago, I had a situation, which I didn't say anything about it in the morning, but a situation about a girl who was saying all kinds of things about her husband. And as she was talking, the Lord just spoke to my heart and gave me a word of knowledge that what she was complaining about her husband was what she was doing. See, that's discernment. That's knowing. That's a spiritual discernment, dividing the truth and being able to see that. So when you're around me, just be careful. I know where you live. No, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way at all. So the gift of knowledge. We're going to have to be alert to the things that God is doing and the things that God is not doing. We need to be aware of that. We will need to be spiritually awake. We will need to be spiritually aware. So we're going to keep our hearts attentive to the heart of God and listen to him when he speaks to us. We're going to have to pay attention. We're going to have to get familiar with his voice. And Jesus said, I told you these things before beforehand so that when they come upon you, you're not taken by them. We are headed for some hard times. And I don't know. I don't think that there... I don't want to be someone who is always saying, oh, it's so bad. Oh, everything everywhere. Oh, it's falling apart. We'll never get. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying there are some hard times coming. And if I said that there weren't hard times coming, I would be a false prophet, and I don't want to be that. But in those times, we know that the Lord is in control. He told us that these times were coming so that when they come upon us, we're not like, oh, what am I going to do? I'm in the middle. I don't know what to do. Because you have prepared us. God has prepared us for what's ahead of us. In Matthew 24, we are in the last days. So that's why we need that gift of discernment. We are living in the last days, and the Bible says that in the last days, Matthew 24, starting with verse 4, Jesus is speaking, and he says, take heed that no one deceives you. Why do we need the gift of discernment? We want to make sure that no one deceives us. In verse 5, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. In verse 6, and you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Verse 7, for nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines, pestilences. Pestilences are not just locusts, not just bugs. They are all kinds of diseases. They are all kinds of things. Pestilences and earthquakes in various places. Verse 8, all these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and they will kill you. Wait. I didn't sign up for killing. I am not, I don't want to die. This is not true of all of us. We're not all going to die for our faith. But some of us might. And we need to always be aware of that. Well, we live in America. That won't happen here. It can happen anywhere. Anywhere. So be prepared. So then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, will hate one another. We haven't had any of that lately. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many false prophets. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Luke 21:28 says, when these things begin to come to pass, you don't need to worry. Because it says, when these things come to pass, look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draws nigh. It's almost over, ladies. We're almost at the end of the book. There are so many people teaching Revelation right now. We're at the end of the book. And we know what goes on from there. There was a woman, and some of you have heard this story. If you went to one of our retreats, you've heard this story. The elderly lady was diagnosed with cancer and was told that she had 3 months to live. And so she got together with her pastor, and she made her funeral arrangements. So she told him what Bible verses she wanted read, what songs she wanted to be sung, what dress she wanted to be in her casket. She said that she wanted to be buried with her favorite Bible. I never want my favorite Bible to go in a casket and be buried. I want my favorite Bible to sit on the shelf for somebody else to glean from what God has shown me. And so write in your Bibles. Write things in your Bibles. Write dates in your Bible. When the Lord speaks to you in a verse, write that verse. Write the date by that verse. I had a friend of mine who's... daughter was not walking with the Lord, but in her Bible, every time the Lord gave her a verse, she put the girl's name by it. And she said, when she accepts the Lord, I'm giving her this Bible so that she knows every time I prayed for her and she knows what God has said to me. So we want to use our Bibles and we want to pass our Bibles on, right? Right, yes, I know you do. And so she wanted to be buried with her favorite Bible, though. And then she said, oh, there's one more important thing. I want to be buried with a fork in my hand. Okay. Same thing the pastor did. All right. Mm-hmm. Why a fork? Well, you know when you go and you have dinner at someone's house, or if you, you know, you're at a church social and they're clearing the plates and they say, keep your fork. That means something of substance is coming up. It means it's not going to be Jell-O. It means it's not going to be pudding. It's going to be cake or pie. Something of substance. So that when they ask you why the fork in her hand, you are able to say, she knows that the best is yet to come. I want you to be encouraged by that. The best is yet to come. It gets better, ladies. This is not all there is. And we are, so no fretting is allowed. Psalm 37 says three times, fret not, fret not, fret not. So no fretting is allowed. Verse 3 of chapter 37 of Psalms, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Verse 4, delight yourself also in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. When your desires are his desires, he can give you every desire of your heart. When our desires, why isn't God giving me what I want? Well, you're not quite matched up with his desires. And so you ask the Lord, can you just give me your desires, Lord, so that I can have the desires of my heart? I want to desire what you desire, Lord. And so we are living in so commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Fret not, fret not, fret not. We are living in the last of the last days. Jesus Christ is coming back for his church, and it won't be long. We are brides that are ready for his coming. We are looking for his coming. He is coming for those who love his appearing, those who are looking for his appearing. So we don't fear. Isaiah 43, 2. We don't need to fear at all. Isaiah 43, 2 says, when you pass through the waters, that's so important. When you pass through the waters, when you pass through the waters, not if, but when. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. God told us that. He's got this. Fret not. God has got this. Now, on Sunday morning, I was listening to J. Vernon McGee. And I love J. Vernon McGee. I love listening to him. I have things that I disagree with him. And I hate that because I want to agree completely with somebody that I'm trusting, but we don't agree with somebody 100% on little things that have nothing to do with salvation, right? We can disagree on things that don't have anything to do with salvation. So, but these things don't have to do with salvation, the things I disagree with him. But anyway, I was listening to him on Sunday morning. And he was not, this one thing I know, he was not talking about Micah. I don't know what book he was in, but it was a Sunday morning sermon, and it wasn't on Micah. And he was talking about something completely different, and these are his words. Too many people today are listening to the government and the politicians, and, these are his words, trusting the science. What? He died in 1988. He was preaching in the 60s and 70s. He said, too many of us are depending on the government for everything, thinking they have all the answers. He said, why are you trying to update the gospel? Nothing's changed. Man is still in need of salvation. McGee was speaking about things in the 60s and 70s, and yet it seemed that he was speaking of yesterday. Or maybe even today. And everybody that I listened to, everybody that I was reading, I was like, what, are you guys copying off of each other's papers or what? How can it be almost this identical to what you're saying? John Corson was back in 93 when he said these very same things. McGee when in the 60s or 70s. Who else did I listen? Like, I listened to some people, you don't even know their names. You'd never recognize them. Bill, no. Just let it go, Joy. Just let it go. I was kidding. These are the jokes. This is as good as it gets. So everyone I've been listening to, nothing's changed over the years. Nothing's changed. Well, some things have changed and they've gotten worse. Don't you agree? They certainly took a turn in chapter 3 of the book of Micah. And I'm going to go quickly through an overview of what is going on in chapter 3. So don't try to write your notes right now. We're just going to go through a quick saying of. In verses 1 through 4, the rulers of the house of Israel are condemned for their injustice, their unrighteousness, and their covetousness. They treated the poor poorly. They hated good and loved evil. Instead of being shepherds of the sheep as rulers are meant to be, these politicians were wolves, turning the sheep into meat for the pot and flesh for the cauldron. They were opposite of David, who was a shepherd and came to be a shepherd of a nation in 1 Samuel 17 and 2 Samuel 5. Through 5 through 7, the false prophets would chant peace to those who paid them well and predict war to all of those who didn't pay. They must have paid up front, because they were able to know that. Therefore, God would withhold from them the knowledge of his will. They would not receive an answer from God. God was silent when they called out to him. In verses 8 through 12, Micah was empowered by the Spirit of the Lord to declare God's message to Israel and Jacob, Judah. The mercenary rulers, priests, and prophets thought that they were safe, but Micah announced that Jerusalem would be reduced to a heap of rubble. That's what chapter 3 is all about. And let's take a look at it. In chapter 3, verse 1, and Micah is saying, "Hear now, O heads of Jacob, and you rulers of the house of Israel, is it not for you to know justice? Is it not for you to know judgment? You deserve judgment, and you know you deserve judgment." Ezekiel 22:27. I know that it's in your homework, but Ezekiel 22:27, that you deserve judgment, and you know that you deserve judgment. In verse 2, you who hate good and love evil, you who hate good and you love evil. Go over to Isaiah 5, verse 20. Isaiah 5, verse 20. And I hope that, I know that these things are in your homework, but somebody told me this morning we need to read some of them. So Isaiah 5, 20. "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe to men mighty of drinking wine. Woe to men valiant for mixing intoxicating drink, who justify the wicked for a bribe and take away justice from the righteous man." Wow. What an indictment. Who look at evil and call it good, and call good evil. It is a mark of the last days. We who have stood for morality are looked at as evil people today. That's today. That's not sometime in the future. That's today. Where we look for things that God has told us, and we are told that those things are evil and not good. We are in the last of the last days. "Who strip the skin from my people and the flesh from their bones, who also eat the flesh of my people, flay their skin from them, break their bones and chop them into pieces like meat for the pot, like flesh in the cauldron." They're talking about completely stripping the people of everything that they had. Taxes so high that the people could not live. They were lived in poverty because of the taxes that were upon them. the poor being treated poorly because the leaders were not following God. Verse 4, then they will cry to the Lord, but he will not hear them. He will even hide his face from them at that time because they have been evil in their deeds. Jeremiah 11:11. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I will surely bring calamity on them, which they will not be able to escape. And though they cry to me, I will not listen to them. Then the cities of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem will go and cry out to the gods to whom they offer incense, but they will not save them at all in the time of their trouble. For according to the number of your cities, were your gods. According to the number of your cities were your gods, O Judah. And according to the number of the streets of Jerusalem, you have set up altars to that shameful thing, altars to burn incense to Baal. So do not pray for these people, is what it says there in Jeremiah. God is saying there will come a time when I won't hear you. I won't be listening. That's not for a child of God that's walking with the Lord, because you are used to hearing his voice. When you hear his voice, you respond. That is for people who refuse to hear the voice of God, for people who refuse to walk in the ways of the Lord, for men who and women who refuse to do what God has told them to do. Verse 5, thus says the Lord concerning the false prophets who make my people stray. The false prophets who make my people stray, who chant peace while they chew with their teeth, but who prepare war against God. They prepare war against God. I do not want to be in their shoes. Prepare war against God. That's the end for you. If you want to have a war with God, you will lose, I promise you. So let's walk with him and not against him. Keep our eyes on him. And that who make my people stray. I'm reminded of the man who, I guess he was a United Methodist, if I'm correct, at, I don't know if it was the inauguration or something before that, where the reverend ended his prayer with amen and a woman. That said, I know nothing about God. He just put out his stupidity, his lack of knowledge before all of the people. And the problem is that he has a following of people. He is leading people astray. And God said, I won't put up with that. I won't put up with you leading my people astray. Who puts nothing into their mouths, but who prepare war against God, against him, against God, who puts nothing in their mouths. He hasn't given them anything. Ezekiel 13. And in Ezekiel 13, start with verse 10, it says, because they have seduced my people, saying peace when there is no peace. And one builds a wall and they plaster it with untempered mortar. Go down to verse 16. That is, the prophets of Israel who prophesy concerning Jerusalem and who see visions of peace for her when there is no peace, says the Lord God. And then verse 19. And will you profane me among my people for handfuls of barley and for pieces of bread, killing people who should not die and keeping alive people who should not live by your lying to my people who listen to the lies? This is what the leaders were doing. And Jeremiah talked about it. Ezekiel talked about it. What is the other one that was talking? Isaiah talked about it. And though in verse 7, so verse 6, therefore you shall have night without vision. You shall have darkness without divination. I'm not going to be talking to you. You'll have nothing to say. The sun shall go down on the prophets, and the day shall be dark for them. They will not be able to see. Darkness comes upon them. When we see someone who is acting in evil ways, what do we call them? They are a dark personality. They are a dark person. There's no light in them. So the seers shall be ashamed, and the diviners confused or abashed. Indeed, they shall all cover their lips, for there is no answer from God. They weren't getting any words from God, nothing from God. No words from God. They were making up their stories. They were making up what they were going to say. Nothing from God. And they're going like, they didn't know what to say. It says they would cover their mouth out of surprise. I have nothing to say. You read their eyes and they realize, I have nothing. There's nothing coming to my mind for you. No matter how much you paid me, I have nothing to say because God prevented it. In verse 8, it says, but truly I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord and of justice and might. I'm full of these things to declare to Jacob his transgression and to Israel his sin. Isaiah 58:1. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Tell my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. Don't be hesitant about it. Tell them of their sin because you are protecting my people. Tell them the truth. Tell them the truth. Verse 9, and now hear this. You heads of the house of Jacob and rulers of Israel, who abhor justice, who abhor judgment, and pervert all equity, who build up Zion with bloodshed and Jerusalem with iniquity. You have built your houses with blood money, it's saying. You have exacted so much from the people. You have taken from the poor. Your houses are blood money built. You took everything from someone else so that you could have everything that you wanted. And God does not look kindly on that. And that's what Micah is telling them. Verse 11, her heads judge for a bribe. Her priests teach for pay. I know some of you who heard Pastor Bill on Sunday. And he spoke about the man who came or who wanted to come and speak for us. And his first question was, how much will you pay me? How much do I get and where do I sit and when do I quit? God said, you ain't ready yet. And so that's what was happening there. People who wouldn't share anything unless they were paid. And then they shared false prophecy, so why bother? And her prophets divine for money. Yet they lean on the Lord and say, is not the Lord among us? No harm can come on us. Again, I say, they were looking at God and looking at the people and saying, do you know who I am? Do you know my name? Do you know my family? God's not doing anything to me. He promised way back there. We have no promises from God if we are not walking with him. And I can say that with all sincerity. And you can, yeah, but that once saved, always saved, unless I fall away. So if there is a chance that I can fall away from the Lord, I am going to walk as closely with him as I possibly can. Back in the days of the Pony Express, some guys were being interviewed for their to be one of the Pony Express riders, or I guess they're called. And the one guy said, oh, I can go as fast as you can. You can't even believe how fast I can go. And I go right around the edge and I so that I don't have to do extra stuff. And I can move right in there. And the other guy said, I go a little slower and I stay close to the mountain so that I make sure that the mail gets there. Guess who got hired? The one who stayed close because he wasn't taking the chances of dying and not getting the mail to where it should be. That's where we are. We stay close to the Lord so that we can share his message with other people. Share that message with them. Therefore, because of you, Zion shall be plowed like a field. Verse 12, Jerusalem shall become heaps of ruins, and the mountain of the temple like the bare hills of the forest. And if you've been to Israel, you know that there are some places still that are super barren. Nothing there. Nothing at all. Many of the places that houses have been built on it. But for the most part, there are places that are, it is nothing. Just like Micah said it would be. So what do we do with what we've just learned? What do we do with this situation now that we're living in the last days and we're aware that we're living in the last days? Remember who you are. Remember who you are. Live for God. You are a child of the King. You are a child of the living King. So remember who you are. Live for God. Set aside pride. Of course, there's none of that amongst you guys. Me? Well, just a bit. Set it aside. Be done with sin. Love mercy. The judgment is what it costs to worship idols. Judgment is what is the cost of idol worship. They sought to remove God from their schools. They sought to remove God from their games, from their meetings, from everything. Sounds a little familiar. Help us to be serious, Lord. I read a story just the other day of a young man who was home from college because of the pandemic. Decided to give his hand at investing, and he joined in with Robinhood. However that works, I don't know. This is not an indictment against Robinhood. I'm not saying nothing bad about Robinhood. But he started investing in it. He had $2,500, and he started his investing. And he got a recorded message. He was a young man. What he wanted to do was he wanted to take the money that he could make so that he could give it to others. That was his goal, to give it to others, to make other people's lives better, to give it to the hospital that was close by. So he made all of these plans. And then one day, Robinhood mistakenly sent him information that he owed $750,000 and that it would need to be paid in just a few days. Well, not knowing what to do, he was a young man. He hadn't ever done any much investing before. And so he called them, he emailed them, he texted them, he did everything he could to get some support, to get some understanding of what was going on. The recording that he got was, we'll get back to you, we'll get back to you, we'll get back to you. And he kept trying. The recorded message was all that he got. And the day that he committed suicide, because he couldn't see any way out, was the day that the message came through that he was not responsible for the money and that it was all fine. You see, he thought that there was no way out. He thought that there was no way that he could pay the price for what he owed. But it was taken care of, and so he gave up. He'd been led astray somewhat by the company who didn't have the time to help him. Again, this is not an indictment against Robinhood. I don't know enough about him to put him down. But here he was. Let's be people who recognize the seriousness of the day we live in and share the gospel of Jesus Christ with as many people as we can, as often as we can, wherever we can, whenever we can. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him. 2 Chronicles 16:9. Trust him, confess any sin, and keep moving forward toward the prize of the high calling of God. It won't be long, and we'll be going home. It won't be long. And it's nearer than the day when we first believed. So let's take as many people as we can along with us when that time comes. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you, God, that you have spoken to every one of us, including me. Father, that you have brought to us, brought to our attention, Lord, things that need to change, maybe. You've brought to our attention things that we've trusted in. You've brought to our attention things that need to be put aside. Lord, thank you that you don't leave us comfortless, but you have sent a comforter. You have sent someone to lead us, Lord. And Father, we know that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, and you are just going to show us the next step ahead of us. And so, Lord, help us to trust you. Help us to rely on you. Help us to be people, women, who are so in love with you, Lord, so given over to you, so aware of your voice, Lord, that it's all you have to do is speak our name. Lord, at the tomb, when Mary was there and she's asking all the questions and she didn't recognize you, all you needed to do was call her name, and she was so familiar with her with your voice that she responded. Lord, let us respond that same way. We thank you, Lord. We praise you. We give you all the honor and all the praise and all the glory to your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus, we worship you.
Thank you for listening to this Heart to Heart Women's Bible Study recorded at Refuge Calvary Chapel in Huntington Beach. We hope you've been encouraged by today's lesson and will join us again as we continue to study through the Word of God. For more information about the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry, please visit our website at www.refugefamily.com or call our office at 714-891-9495. In the power of your name, I've given up, letting go.